A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. And if you want, you give me a call as usual. It's 877-207-2276. And let's see, got a couple things going on. I got a sneeze coming up, so I may have to do a sneeze thing here in a little bit. We'll see. I'm writing an article on the social gospel. And sometimes what happens when I write an article, it'll take a life of its own, and that's what happened here. There's just more stuff coming out, and hopefully release it this evening. I want my wife to check it. She's a good editor, and I remember once I did a test. I wrote a paragraph, and I absolutely made it perfect, and I'm going to test her. This paragraph is perfect, and I wrote it up. I edited it. I punctuated it, and I walked over to her desk, which is only like 12 feet away, and I said, "Here you go." By the time I got to my desk, she'd already found a mistake. So I'm like, man. And she was right. I couldn't see it. You can't edit your own stuff. So hopefully after she edits it, take a look there and then get it released. And as I continue to work on issues on social justice and the cancel culture, being woke, you know, all the stuff that is going on, is particularly important now more and more because of what's happening in our society and stuff with the leftists gaining more control. And so something to be aware of and stuff like that. But anyway, we also have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have a prayer ministry. If you want to contact us, all you got to do is just email prayer@carm.org. So let's just say you have a need and you really want us to pray and have someone lift you up in the Lord, then you can do that. You can just email us at prayer@carm.org, and the prayer team will be alerted. Alerted, I don't know if that's a good word or not, but they're notified. And people pray for you. Also, we have three online schools. If you go to carm.org/schools, let me check and see. We have, let's see if that works. If it doesn't, I'll have to put it in a forward. You can go to the search engine, type in online schools. We have those, and the School of Theology, School of Apologetics, and a School of Critical Thinking. In fact, are at the top blue line on the site, and we're going to be changing the navigation arrangement a little bit. We had a big meeting about this, and we've got some things we're going to be changing. If you have any suggestions for the site, the new site, please just don't hesitate. Let us know. You have any suggestions, things you like, don't like. And what we really are looking for is the people. We're looking for the people who don't know how to do anything on the computer, and they go to the site. Don't think that because you don't know what you're doing on the computer, which fits a lot of people, don't think that we don't want to hear from you. You're exactly the person you want to hear from. Because someone like myself, you know, I know the site inside out, backwards, forwards. I can get around and do all the stuff. But my wife even, she says, "Well, what do you do here?" And I was like, "How could you not know that?" And it wasn't, complaining. I was just thinking, how can you? She said, "Well, because of this." And I went, "Oh, I never thought of it that way." She has a good insight. And I know a lot of people who don't know computers like I do, or some of us might have, a little bit of issues when they go to the site. We want to hear from you. And all you got to do is just email us at webmaster@carm.org, webmaster@carm.org, and you can check that out. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, we got five open lines, folks. Nobody's called yet. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. And let's see, what else have we got to talk about? Biden is now officially the new president. A lot of people Christians don't want to talk about politics. You know, they do apologetics. I believe that all areas of the of life are under the purview and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that what we ought to be doing is subjecting all things to the Lord. And that means politics. It means everything in society, religious, sacred, secular, everything should be subjected to the Word of God ultimately. That doesn't mean we force it on people. But it does mean that we have to recognize as Christians that politics is fair game for discussion inside of Christian circles. I've written an article on this, and you can go to the CARM website. If you look, you can see on the main page there, on the home page, you can see some of the articles, Christians' Duty to Obey and Disobey Government. And there are, the Bible actually talks about this kind of stuff. It talks about when we should obey and when we should not obey. In Romans 13, a lot of people say that that just means we obey whatever the government says, and that's not the case. It doesn't say that. It says that we are to obey government, but other places it talks about disobeying the government. And we disobey whenever the government contradicts Scripture. So if it were to support abortion, which we can't as Christians, then you know, we can't support that. We should not agree with it. We should not vote for people who support killing babies in the womb. We should not support candidates who support the idea of homosexuality. Well, I'm sorry, but we just should not. Okay, we just don't do that as Christians. I know a lot of people say, well, Matt, that's just your opinion. No, that's what the Scripture says. You cannot support people who are ungodly. Christians cannot support and say, hey, let's approve of kings and magistrates who deny the truth of God's Word and then advocate that which is ungodly. We Christians can't do that. And we could talk about that if you want to give me a call. What is up with it? Nobody's calling right now. That's I think it's a record here for no one calling. So if you want to give me a call, five open lines, 877-207-2276. You can also watch the show by going to the CARM site homepage. In fact, I want to see how it works on my Android phone, which I'm going to go to right now. This is a live test because we have the video going. I'm going to see how it looks on the... Oh, there it works. Hey, look at that. I can see it. There we go. It works on the Android phone as well. Nice stuff. I like it. The technology's great. All right. Well, if you guys aren't going to give me a call, then what I can do is start teaching on a topic of... or I tell you what, we'll do this. If you got questions in the chat rooms, all you got to do is type in a question, let me know, and I'll get to it. And maybe there's something going on with a phone number. I don't know, because we almost always have calls by now. I don't know what's going on, why it's taking so long. But the number again is 877-207-2276. Maybe the Christians are depressed because Biden's in. And Biden, I'm really scared for this country. But it's a good thing we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's allowing things to happen. And let's see, you know, I'm reading some text. And he has allowed this to happen. We need, as Christians, need to be praying. We need to trust in what the Lord Jesus has taught us. And what we need to do also, let's see, here we go, this and that, is, you know, the time has come for us to, as Christians, to seek the Lord. And we need to get involved with local government and officials, and we need to be praying for them. And we have to understand it's going to take a long time for us to change things. We've been complacent long enough. It's going to take a long time to get things taken care of. And we should be, as Christians, ready for the long haul in prayer and sacrifice before the Lord. So I would suggest that you consider really praying about this issue. Let's get on the phones to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Always a pleasure. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Sure.
Had a question about the homosexuality. Funny that you brought it up. I know it's on CARM, but I also wanted to, you know, hear from you as well. And I actually have two questions I'll ask real quick. One, I wanted to ask why homosexuality is bad, and I wanted to ask where in Scripture where we cannot support abortion. Just want to ask those questions respectfully.
Okay, yeah, homosexuality is clearly condemned in Scripture, in Leviticus 19, also in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Homosexuality is a sin, and the reason it's a sin is because it goes against the created order of God, which He created man and woman, male and female, and that was the order that creation was to take in marriage, in sexuality, in union. And homosexuality is an affront to that. It's a challenge to that. It is a denial of the created order of God. And the issue of abortion is found in many verses. Let's see if I can get some of them up here, and I'll read them. Let's see. On the issue of defending, for example, social justice, Christian duty. What we do, I've got to find the verses. For example, we are to defend the helpless. Isaiah 1:17 comes into play. Here we go. Okay. So, keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. That's Exodus 23:7. And Deuteronomy 19:10, so innocent blood will not be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord God gives you an inheritance, or the blood guiltness will be on you. Psalm 82, 3 through 7, vindicate the weak and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and destitute, rescue the weak and needy, deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. Let's see, and here's another one, Proverbs 6, 16 through 17, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And Joel 3:19.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Joel 3:19. Egypt will become a waste, and Edom will become a desolate wilderness, because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. And so there's other verses like this, but that should clarify that that is it. The life in the womb is, so to speak, innocent blood, and it's done nothing to deserve being ripped apart inside the womb and killed.
Okay. All right. A lot of good scriptures pulled up. Check these scriptures also on Carm, so I can check for reference later.
Yes. If you were to go to the Carm page, you can see scriptures regarding the Christian's obligation when to obey, or obligation to obey and disobey the government. And there's scriptures listing. And I'm not advocating disobedience to the government. I'm just saying, you know, we need to understand that we don't always do what the government says. Because when it violates Scripture, then we have to resist. That's my point. And so Christians need to become educated in this. So that's it. And the Scriptures are there. I think the link is still on the homepage. When we write new articles, then it rotates down. So you can check it out and check out the Scriptures. Okay? Are you there? Okay. Okay. I guess so.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I had one more question.
Sure.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't want to disturb you with all the noise that was going on in the background. One last question. With all the measures that's going against Christianity from the left and everywhere else...
Can you hold on? We got a break. I want to hear it. Okay, we got a break. But hold on, okay? I want to hear what you have
to say. Okay, all right, thank you.
Hey, folks, we'll be right back. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We will be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Jamal from North Carolina. Welcome. You're back on the air.
All right. Thank you, Matt. I'll be real quick. Wanted to ask, with all the measures that's going against Christianity from the extreme left and other people, other entities, other groups, I was wondering if there could be some kind of publication that you could write or you could recommend, or maybe even a book that we all could reference to kind of keep track of what's going on against Christianity.
Well, That's a really interesting question. I don't know of a book, but the reason I'm pausing is because you kind of stumbled on an idea I've had, and it is to literally to document and produce a page that documents just exactly what you're saying by producing links to other sites.
Exactly.
And so I'm surprised you actually said that because usually I have an idea and I just think about it, but if someone talks about it, it's kind of interesting. Maybe it's what God wants me to do. So I can easily do that. I've already gotten a little bit state-approved abortion topics, state-approved homosexuality, state-approved same-sex marriage issues. I'd like to find stuff that, you got me thinking, I'd like to find stuff where if people, here's what I'm thinking several things at once. What I normally do in a case like this is create a small section on CARM where, under the issue of persecution. We already have that. And I could do is create a series of articles, links, external links to persecution of Christians. And I can produce an article, and all people have to do is, if they want, is they can just email me with what they found. And what I would need is a URL. So if they find it on Fox News or Blaze or The Federalist or whatever, even on CNN, whatever it is, where it says it's an example of Christians being persecuted, of Christians' laws that are passed where we are in trouble. I've got a book that I was just going through, and this is what I was thinking about last night as I was reading it, was some of the stuff in there is documenting children, like, in a school. A little girl goes to pray, just bows her head to pray, and the teacher comes along and says, "You can't do that here." Just stuff like this.
On.
Oh, yeah. And so there was a lawsuit filed. It's how oppressive the left is. So I'm looking for anything and everything like that. And if people want to do this, if you want to help me out, because it's just a matter of research. But if people find things like this, just to email it to info@carm.org with a subject title, persecution links, or persecution of Christians information, and you have to put in there the link, because a lot of times people do is they just say, "There's a good article about persecution on Fox." It doesn't help me. I just delete it.
Right.
I can't do anything with it. But what I will do, what I generally do, is I have a way of taking the entire article and I copy it, and then I store it offline to some place. It's actually on the cloud. It's not me, violating copyright. It's in case they remove the article, I have the original, and I can document it, and that's what I do. So I go in and copy it. It just takes me, 30 seconds. And I can produce this stuff so I can do links and link to the actual external site and documents. So, I would love to have people help you on that. If they are interested, they could do that and just send the information to info@carm.org, and I could start producing things. Okay?
All right. Well, sounds good. I hope something like that comes out soon, because, with all the stuff here and there, people having different ideas, saying different things. It's kind of like the Bible. We have that one source to go to spiritually. It'd be nice to have one source that continues to grow, with anything that goes against us. And we could be like, "Look, here's, one time we're persecuted. Here's one time this group went against us." And we have us as Christians, the source to refer back to anytime something comes against us. So we're all on one accord, one page.
Well, that reminds me. Here's something else I've been thinking about is... if CARM becomes illegal, if what I do becomes illegal, because I call homosexuality a sin, and then the tolerant left says I'm not allowed to exercise free speech anymore, expression of religion. What we've been thinking about is to do everything by emails and send out emails to everybody, once a day. If this sounds like something you're interested in, folks, you can go to CARM and just sign up for the newsletter. We send one newsletter out a week, but if it ever got to the point where we need to communicate with a lot more people on a regular basis, that's where we're going to go to. So you could always go to the CARM website and just sign up for the newsletter. And you'll get a newsletter once a week, but if it ever gets to the point where it's illegal, then what I'll do is that. And I know some people who are really good with tech savvy stuff, and there's ways and things that I won't say much, but yeah, I know people. So we're slowly prepping for this kind of a thing. Okay.
Sounds good. Just one more thing. I'm signed up. I suggest other people get signed up as well. You know, just in case. But thank you very, very much for answering my call. Thank you very much for answering my question. I hope you take care and God bless.
God bless you, Jamal. God bless, man. All right. That was Jamal. Good conversation. Let's get to Jan from Virginia. And the question was from Jan was, what was the name of the woman at the well? The Bible does not reveal that information. We don't know, so we can't say. And that's it. Okay, let's get to, well, let me give you the phone number out. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Antoinette from Virginia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I did have a question. I am a believer, and I've been a believer for over 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And I had a discussion with a Christian friend of mine about weed smoking. I know in the state of Virginia, they are planning to legalize weed, I think by 2023. Now, as a believer, I don't participate in it, and I believe that someone that is truly born again would not, you know, even indulge in that type of thing. This other fellow believer said that they did not believe it was a sin to partake in weed smoking. Now, I know a lot of people have different views on drinking. Some believers do drink because the Bible does say it's a Christian liberty. Other believers do not drink. I personally do not drink, but other believers do drink. So would you consider weed smoking to be a Christian liberty? I personally don't partake in it. I don't think.
Okay.
You know, the Bible says we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. So I believe that if you're truly born again, that you would not do that with all the negative health effects of weed. But I just kind of wanted to know your opinion.
All right. So as Christians, we're not to become drunk, and we're not to allow anything to take us over to the point where our judgment is impaired and drunkenness, various forms of intoxication occur. That's what the scripture says. Don't do that. It can occur in alcohol. It can also occur with drugs. So Christians are not to participate in drug use for simple entertainment value. Now, what if someone has chemotherapy? And smoking weed, smoking marijuana, can help them. Is it okay then? And I'll answer the question when we get back from the break. And folks, if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We still have three open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Antoinette, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, good. So let's just say that someone has gone through cancer treatment, chemotherapy, and is very, very nauseous. Would it be okay in that instance for someone to use marijuana as a medicinal aid? And I have no problem with that. Just as the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, I believe it is, it says, take a little wine for your stomach. And the idea is that using wine is, alcohol is a intoxicating effect. It can be used medicinally. So if something's to be used medicinally, then great. Now, furthermore, the Bible says that the herbs, let's see, where. Well, that's interesting, says the herbs are there for healing. And I'm trying to find that. There's a verse, I forgot where it is, but it's in Genesis, I believe it is, that they're given for the purpose of healing. And anyway,
right.
So, it's okay to use things for medicinal uses. It's not okay to use things just because, hey, it's a drug that's legal, so now let's go out and have fun and party, and we'll get altered in our mind and drink this and do that. That's sinful. So we're not to do that. So I don't have any problem with it medicinally. I do have a problem with it if they're going to use it recreationally. Even in this, as I would have alcohol as a recreational thing. Because people sometimes go out and they just drink. And they just drink because they can drink. I have a problem with that, personally. I don't see that as being something that we should be doing. But here, check this out, though. This is Proverbs, I'm going to read it to you, Proverbs 31:6. And it says this: give strong drink to the man who's perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his troubles no more. So that's not just ignoring problems. It's talking about the use of alcohol as a medicine to help soothe, and that's okay. So if marijuana could be used in that kind of a context, there's no problem with it. And we've got to be careful where we draw that line, though, because people go, oh, okay, well, hey, it always helps me. It makes me feel better, so now I can do it. That's not the issue. Does that help?
It does help. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't black and white thinking.
It's not. We have a negative association with marijuana. I have never, ever smoked any marijuana in my entire life. Never done any drugs ever. And I rarely have any alcohol. And that's it. I don't care about it. So right. if you know, a friend of mine or a family member was really sick and nausea was the case because of whatever it was that marijuana could help, I don't have any problem with it. As long as it's helping, it's not, as long as it's not, hey, let's just get, you know, get high. No, can't do that. No. But if it can help people.
Right. Well, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Okay, so what if you have, not really friends, or what if you have family members that smoke recreationally? I mean, I know the Bible does talk about evil communication corrupts good mm-hmm. manners. Mm-hmm. So, like, but I don't want to cut my family off. So,
I wouldn't.
You know, what is a biblical perspective?
I wouldn't cut your family off for that any more than I would cut a family member who is alcoholic and has abused drugs. And let's just say, in my family, that's been the case, where, I'm going to be very vague, where alcohol and drug use was improper. And I never cut off the fellowship, but I instead was regularly in contact, and not all the time I would speak in such a way as to try and correct, because you can't do that all the time. But I was there as a family member, and then when it came up, I would give that advice. And this happened for 2 years on a regular basis, and finally that person is doing much, much better. And I say just because of me, but you know, if you close off that communication, one of the things to think about is, well, then are they going to be going to their unbelieving friends for sources of comfort? We have to be careful, because where did Jesus go? Jesus went to eat with the tax gatherers and the drunkards. He went and fellowshiped with them. He hung out with them. And the tax gatherers were particularly hated by the Jews, because they would require the Jews to pay taxes for the Roman oppressive government. And so they were hated. There were two categories of sinners: sinners and tax gatherers. That's, they had their own category of sinfulness, according to the Jewish mindset.
Wow.
And Jesus went and hung out with them, and drunkards. And so he did. I'm not saying, hey, let's go out and hang out with you know, with evil people. Just saying that we've got to be careful that we're not so judgmental about people who have bondage into various sins that we cut off fellowship with them and communication, because ultimately we want to be there to help them and to give them that word of truth and love in Christ. And if we cut that off, we can't do it. Now, there are times when we do need to cut that off. And that's between that person and God and stuff. But I'm a little bit different than a lot of Christians. I believe in getting out there with the unbelievers. I believe in going out to where the unbelievers are and meeting them where they're at, just like Paul did, just like Jesus did, because they went out to where these people were. And they met with them and hung out with people that were not the best. And you know, so we're not any better than him, that's for sure. Okay?
Amen. Well, I guess that's a good example of being salt and light. I guess the part that was so confusing was, you know, the evil communication corrupts good manners. Like, so how do you prevent these people influencing you and your lifestyle?
Well, you keep your eyes on Jesus. It's simple. You know, I can go into a place, not that I'll just go do this, but I can go into a place where people are drinking and cussing and swearing, and I can mingle with them. Not that I approve of it, I don't, but I can be there, and I can witness to them. And a lot of Christians have a problem with that you shouldn't do that. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Now, you know, when I was younger, I used to go to dance clubs, and my brother and I would go, and one of my brothers, and we would just go have fun. And I used to carry a New Testament with me. And I can remember more than one occasion people would say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm getting ready to go to college so I can go to seminary and be a minister. And they were stunned. And they'd say, what are you doing here? I'd say, having fun. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing anything illicit. Just, you know, fellowshipping with my brother. And I enjoy dancing and stuff like that. You know, I said, I'm a white boy with rhythm, I would say to them, and they'd chuckle. And I would hand a Bible to someone. They said, no, you're kidding. You're not really a Christian. I said, yeah, I am. Here's my New Testament. I'll quote you 100 verses. And I would witness to them. Now, I'm not saying it just makes everything okay, but where does it say in the Bible that we Christians are supposed to avoid the unbelievers? If they're out where they're sinning, I'm not saying we join them in their sin, but shouldn't we be out there with them to some extent? I actually met a guy. Now, I'll just say this. You can judge this what you want, because I'm not sure what to do with it. This guy told me that he grew up in a very odd situation where his dad would take him to topless bars. Now, I'm not approving of this, but he said this is what happened. And he grew up, and it didn't mean anything to him. He would literally go into these bars as a grown man and witness to people. And he said he was stunned at how many times there were Christians in church, churchgoers who were in bars like that. And he would witness to them, and they'd say, well, why are you here? It's because I'm here for you. And he said many people turned back to going to church because that's where he was. Now, I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I'm just saying we have got to be careful. Sometimes we are so self-righteous about what Jesus would be and do that we wouldn't do what Jesus would do when he hung out with the tax gatherers and the sinners. You know? So, you know, I was just thinking, one of my daughters has a transsexual friend who's went one way and is going back. And I was just thinking last night, I haven't seen that person for a while. I was going to talk to my daughter and say, invite him over. You know, just, why not? It doesn't bother me. I want that person to be exposed to Christianity. Not that I'm going to witness and talk every single second about the Lord, but sometimes you got to be a friend for a couple of months before the door opens up at the right time. I believe in us doing. I believe in us going out there. I used to dress up as a punker and go down to the beach in Southern California and witness. Dressed up in weird clothes with a pierced ear and go down there and go into the crowds and witness. And people, they were stunned that I would do that. Mm. I said, why can't I? And they listened to me preach the gospel to them. Okay? All right?
Amen. Thank you so much.
All right, amen. All right. Folks, you have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's get to Jacob from Wisconsin. Jacob, welcome. You're on the air. Jacob, I hit the button. I'll wait for him. He's probably panicking right now.
Was Deuteronomy 21:11 allowing the Israelites to marry unbelievers?
That's a good question. because in Deuteronomy 21, it's talking about when there's battles or cities of battles, and this, an Israelite would want to take someone as his wife, then he could. And I would think that sometimes they were unbelievers, but the way the culture was at that time, the wives would follow the lead of the husbands, and they eventually would just adopt that culture and that practice within the Israeli system, because they had something called covenant theology, where all people in and under the headship of the male in the house, whether they were believers or not believers, who were to be circumcised, etc., were to be considered under that covenant protection inside of Israel. So there's this kind of a weird gray area that would justify them to be able to marry women and then have children. Of course, those children be raised in the Lord. Okay?
And I was also wondering on verse 14, can you explain that? That it seems like if they have no delight, they can let her go.
It says, it shall be... Mia, are you a Christian by any chance? Just curious.
Yes.
Okay. It shall be, if you are not pleased with her, then you shall let her go wherever she wishes. But you shall not certainly sell her for money. You shall not mistreat her because you have humbled her. Apparently, in that culture at that time, if she wanted to go, then he would let her go. But had to treat her properly. There was no forcible relations allowed by Israelites upon any woman. And if they wanted to have a woman, a lot of people don't get this too. This is something that's important culturally. We just don't understand this. But in that culture, one nation might fight another nation, and men would go out to fight, and they would be destroyed. And the economy and the culture, social structure of that losing nation would be obliterated, and they would often have famine and disease and stuff like that, because there was no one there to take care of what needed to be taken care of. So one of the ways of helping, believe it or not, was to actually marry the people, the women of the losing side. But it had to be done under certain rules. But nevertheless, so apparently in this, it's with that condition, if you're not pleased with her, she's let her go to wherever she wants, and that's what was allowed. Okay?
And also, Hosea, was he to marry an unbeliever? Did
yes.
Did God tell him to do that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
And was but that would never be the case now, is that correct?
Most
for the new covenant?
Not. Probably not. That's correct, because we're not to marry unbelievers. So in the new covenant. But God,
but there was some exception
in
back then, just like there was for polygamy.
Yes. Okay.
I had another question, if I
sure,
ask
go
that.
Ahead.
Do you know anything about the false teachings of Norman Vincent Peale?
Yeah, he's bad news. Basically, he taught a form of New Age mysticism, that's not really good. It's hard to explain. He was into the idea of faith as a force and a power, and that the Christian was to send forth the faithful act of belief in order to get God to release his power in your life, and that you could influence and not control, but release the power of God through your particular efforts in that area. And it was false doctrine, and a lot of the positive confession people are into that. Okay?
Because I saw that he was, it's confirmed that he was a 33rd degree Freemason.
Okay. I didn't know that, but if he was, that would be problematic, because to get to that level, you have to swear allegiance to the God, a God, and loyalty under oath of blood for the sake of being killed, if you reveal what goes on in the Masonic Lodge and stuff.
And also, he was the pastor of the church that Trump attended when he was young, what it says on the Wikipedia, so maybe that had a bad influence why he had Paula White and other people that
weren't
good,
about
because
that.
He got bad ideas from that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's very unfortunate that Trump went with Paula White. She's a bad teacher. But, you know, it's just what it is. But I don't know about the other part, though. Okay? All right, buddy?
Okay, thank you.
All right, man.
Yeah, that's
God
good.
Bless. Okay. All right, let's get to Scarlett from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Scarlett, you're on the air.
Hello. My question is this. I think I have heard you say before that nowhere in the Bible did it say that the Christians were going to be, or the believers would be raptured up before the tribulation started.
Right.
And can you just kind of walk me through that, only because that I've always heard that in church, that the Christians would be raptured and then would come the tribulation. And that's what I'd just like to know the backing for it.
Yeah, there's nothing in Scripture that says that. It's just, let's see, rapture timeline. I'm going to pick a note here. So, it's just not there. You know, they'll say two men will be in the field, one is taken, one is left, you know, and they'll go to that and say that's pre-tribulation rapture, but it's not about the rapture. It's the wicked who are destroyed. All you got to do is read the context. I find no verses in the Scriptures at all that ever say we're going to escape anything. The best that anybody has offered is to go to Revelation and say that the church is not mentioned at a certain point in time. And therefore, the tribulation means that the church is taken out because the church isn't mentioned. But that's not a very good argument because justification by faith isn't mentioned in Revelation either. It doesn't mean that it's not still true. So it's just not a good argument. And when I look at what the Scripture says about stuff, it says, be wary. Watch, run to the hills. That's what it talks about. And then Jesus says in Matthew 13:30, the first ones taken aren't the good, but the wicked. That's what he said at the end of the age.
Right.
That's what he says. People are, you know, I know people are listening right now, their eyebrows are shooting up saying, what? Matthew 13:30. Read the whole context, read the whole chapter. And he says, you know, the wheat and the tares allow both to go together till the time of the harvest. I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them to gather them to be burned. That's what he said. So I believe the first ones gathered are the tares. That's why, because Jesus taught it. So if that's the case, how can we have pre-trib rapture? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I know.
Well, I want to thank you. I wanted to ask, because, like I said, I've always heard that, and I knew that I had heard you talk about scriptures, and you didn't ever say that, but, you know.
You know, thank you can go to, I've got a lot, I can teach a whole study on this, and I've got a way of doing this. I've done it in Bible studies where it takes an hour. I say, look, I'm going to read you scriptures. You guys tell me where to put the timeline. And we've done it, and every single time, it's come out that the rapture is after a tribulation period, without exception, every one of them. And I just look at the scriptures, and not just one or two, but a whole bunch. You know, 15, 20 scriptures looking all over the place. And people are, they're scratching their heads. So why is the pre-trib rapture stuff so prevalent? I believe, in my opinion, it's because it's consistent with the comfort theology that we receive from the pulpit here in comfortable America all the time. We don't face persecution. Well, yes, we are. We're going to be facing it more and more. And so...
Well, absolutely. Yes, sir.
That's right. I hope
I want
wrong,
to thank you very much.
Okay. All right. I just lost more viewers. Okay. Well, God bless. All right. Let's get to Craig from Kentucky. Craig, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Matt. I would actually like to start off by apologizing. We spoke very briefly last night, and after reviewing our very short interaction, I realized that on two specific occasions you actually tried to transition our conversation into a genuine witness, like you were trying to actually understand or actually engage in evangelism with me. So. With that being said, yesterday when we spoke, I was rude, and so I apologize for that.
Well, apology accepted, but I don't even remember it. So, okay.
Oh, but yeah. Well, great. My question is, in regards to the Exodus, And I've done research in my own study on different hypotheses about when the Exodus may have happened. And I know that there are broadly two or three popular dates for the Exodus. And I was wondering where you generally place the Exodus and kind of your justification for why that is.
I don't know enough to be able to give a date off the top of my head. But there is a video, I think it's on Netflix, where two guys, they filmed going, they took the book, they took the Bible, and they went through and actually followed the route, and the location of the Exodus is different than the generally held position. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
and there's another video that talks, I'm trying to remember, because there's a video I remember seeing a big, gigantic wall on the TV, you know, and they were moving the Exodus timeline left and right under certain events. And I forgot what that was, what the name of it was. But there's some theories.
I guess more broadly, maybe you could touch on the question I was kind of focusing it on more broadly, that if you take 480 years back from, I believe it's the time of Solomon, but it may have been King David, mm-hmm. that if you take 480 years back from that date, that it roughly should put the Exodus around 1450.
Okay.
But that with the mention of the cities of Pithom and Ramses, that would seem to place the date sometime in the 12th century BC, because that was the first time that Ramses the First reigned. Ramses the Second, obviously, being the more tenured of the two pharaohs. But long story short, if the Exodus did in fact happen in the 12th century BC, and more or less allegorizing the 480 years, how would you reconcile that with a view of inerrancy in Scripture?
Well, I wouldn't say that there is no reconciliation needed, because the Scripture is correct. Usually when people disagree with Scripture, it's because they're wrong. And then they find that out later. So I just believe in the inspiration and sufficiency, and the Word of God is accurate. And we just got to learn what the truth about it really is. And we're out of time, buddy. Thanks for calling, man. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Hey, folks, give me a call tomorrow if you want. 877-207-2276. Tomorrow's the same number as it is today. And by God's grace, we're back on the air then. And hopefully we'll talk to you then. God bless.